from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to try something just a little bit different here, and I'm hoping y'all enjoy it, and I want to see what kind of feedback and conversation we can get going either on Twitch, YouTube. You can hit us up on the Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line at 877-881-1053. Now, it involves Randy Johnson and Tom Brady. You might be more familiar with the Randy Johnson thing because that came out last week. We kicked it around just a little bit, but I wanted to go back and talk about that as well because I saw an article on Yard Barker that said Randy Johnson's advice for Paul Skeens is wildly out of touch. So I wanted to start with that and then get to Tom Brady because essentially Randy Johnson, he talked about a lot of stuff from his era and he said for every 15 Tommy John surgeries that are happening in today's game, there might have been one in my era that I heard of. And I don't think it had anything to do with velocity because he said you had Nolan Ryan, Pedro Martinez, Roger Clemens, on and on and on. And you could throw 250 innings, 135 pitches a game, and the injuries were way lower compared to now. So he just doesn't agree with, I guess, like, maybe the load management theory that we had discussed with the Pirates when they were more in playoff position. So I want to start with that. How in touch do you think that is with modern baseball?
Well, it's not in touch that no organization is going to push any pitcher to pitch every fifth day and then see if they can give you approximately 7 innings per start. So it's not in touch that way. But there is no explanation for all of the injuries. If we knew it, we would stop it. And I say we, like I have anything to do with it. If the surgeons, if the pitching coaches, if the medical staffs of teams, the trainers, the strength and conditioning coaches, if they knew how to stop this, they would. Right now we're on this load management. Let's see if we pitch them less, if it will help out. Right now, the answer is it doesn't help at all.
Yeah.
It literally helps 0% to load manage a guy. They're hoping that even over more time that it will prove to be the answer. But it's not. It's not the answer right now. So in a way, Randy does have that in touch of load management has proven nothing.
Yeah.
Except everybody's still getting hurt at the highest rate in the history of baseball. And it's been going up. It's just been going up over time. It's been going up. So they're trying to figure it out. There's no answers for it. The weights, the exercises, the whatever, the stretching, none of it is working in for the better. The only thing you can say is guys are throwing harder. So they have established through different programs and strength and conditioning and stuff, they have figured out how to get kids and young men to throw the ball harder on a consistent basis than ever. More hard throwers. That's the only thing that we've discovered over the, let's say, the last 15 years is how to get people to throw harder, but we have not discovered on how to keep them healthier.
You know who has the most innings pitched since 1977? In one single season.
Was it Nolan?
It's Phil Niekro.
Oh,
knuckleball.
Yeah, and also in 1987, Charlie Huff was the American League leader. He was the leader in innings pitched. Soft knuckleball throwers. And then as you go like forward, Kevin, it was 300 in the 80s.
Yeah.
And then you get, you know, closer and closer and closer to now. It's like 209. Last year or this year, it's 164 for Logan Webb right now. He's the leader. Wow. And Seth Lugo at 166. Right?
So both those guys have a good chance to get a little over 200.
200 innings pitched, yeah.
But it's 100 less innings approximately than what your league leaders were in the 80s.
And so this is kind of his overall point. And that's why I'm seriously asking if you're like, no, I see their perspective, or you're like, that doesn't really jibe with what we're currently doing. So what Randy Johnson said, and he said he told Paul Skeens this, pitchers like you come along every 10 to 15 years. There's been a lot of great pitchers. It's unfortunate that a pitcher like him might not be get to be as great as he can because there are restrictions on him in today's game.
Okay. I agree with Randy Johnson on that. I think that there is this idea of, look, man, there's a unicorn, and we want to let the unicorn go do his thing until he can't. Let him go until he can't go anymore. And I do think that that is one of those, look, the manager can have so much intent, the GM can have so much intent, but are they really allowing you to be as great as possible? And I don't think so in a lot of instances. I think GMs will say, we're shutting this down, when you're like, you know what, I can make it through this next inning and I can do something else. We can see something special. I want to see something special from sports.
I do too. I'd like for him to pitch every fifth day because we're missing him as a fan of baseball.
Yeah.
And look, the Rangers are out of the playoff race. So as a fan of baseball, you want to see Paul Skeens pitch here tomorrow at the ballpark. I don't think there'd be more tickets sold. I don't think our audience is that. I don't think the Metroplex is that engaged with who's on the other team and who's possibly pitching.
But we'd be even more amped.
We would, as media, be fired up, and there would be an electricity media-wise that Paul Skeens is pitching here in Arlington for the game. But they're going to push him back. And look, it didn't help out Steven Strasburg at all. The only thing it possibly did is ruin one season for the Nationals because they decided not to pitch him down the stretch, and then he wasn't pitching in the playoffs, and they got upset in the first round because of it. But it didn't help him stay healthy. We know that from Steven Strasburg. Maybe he would have got hurt quicker, but he didn't have much of a career because of injury.
Interesting side note to this. Paul Skeens' odds for winning NL Rookie of the Year last week were minus 1,400. Now they're down to minus 200.
Because they're afraid you're going to shut him down in September.
Also because he's pitched like a normal person. Like his three starts, he has this month, he has an ERA of 4.15.
Which he's getting rocked.
Yeah, it's like not terrible at all. And that raised his overall ERA for the season to 2.3. Yeah. So that gives you an idea of how unbelievable he was pitching.
It's going to be tough for, I know Wyatt Langford, I'm changing subjects a little bit here, but it's still rookie stuff. It's very tough right now on Paul Skeens. He has to learn this, and so does Wyatt Langford in a different way. Think about their life. Let's just go to high school baseball. High school baseball, you get back from Christmas break. Let's just say you're not playing other sports. And you start revving up for, and it matters where you live in the country, but you're revving up for about early February, you start games now. But it's like a Tuesday game, then a Friday game, maybe a Saturday game. And that's kind of how you play your high school schedule. Once you get into district play, it's just Tuesday and Friday.
Yes.
And then the season ends, and then you go play summer baseball in June and July, maybe a hair in August, but pretty much June and July. And then you do the same thing in college. You play college baseball. It starts in about February. It ends in, if you don't make the College World Series, it ends in mid-May.
Right.
Pretty much. And then you have about a month off, and then you go play 6 weeks of summer baseball in Cape Cod League or something like that. And then your season ends, and then you go back to school in September, and you work on off-season stuff. They are in August, and they're not close to the finish line. Like, it is shocking. It is extremely shocking to your body the first time you play professional baseball on how much you're playing and how long the season is.
Now, to go along with that, let's include football in this and what Tom Brady said. So Tom Brady, I believe this was yesterday, he said, I think it's just a tragedy that we're forcing these rookies to play early. All right, I'm going to stop it right there and just say.
Who said this?
Tom Brady. I was really in, and he's talking about specifically rookie quarterbacks, gotcha. Not all rookies in football. I was intrigued by this, and then I thought it was going to kind of be a breakdown of that's what the salary cap has necessitated and blah, 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 blah. No, he went a totally different direction. He said, but the reality is the only reason why we are is because we've dumbed the game down, which has allowed them to play. It used to be thought of at a higher level. We used to spend hours and hours in the offseason in training camp trying to be just a little bit better the next year. So he believes that is the, well, he said dumbed down. It's a simpler game, and that is what allows so many rookie quarterbacks to play so early.
He's recently played. This is the tough thing, is he's just recently retired.
That is true. Here's why I understand his point. I just think it's more a product of the salary cap than anything. And I know people are going to be like, well, Tom Brady's been around in the salary cap era. I understand that. But he also was part of a destination place where people wanted to go. And he cut team-friendly deals towards the end of his career. I think you look at it now and you see some players are like, I'll hold out after 3 years. You're like, I got 3 years to maximize what I can out of this quarterback and have an advantage over the rest of the league.
He is right about the part, like the offseason and the way that they, Mike talks about it all the time.
For sure.
They said, hey, we want to practice less. We want to put less effort into our work so that we can, you know, go out there and just be athletes on the field. And there is a lot of nuance that you don't get because you don't have the time to work on those things. I think he's right about that for sure.
You're going to love the next part because he said it's the reduction of practice time that has led to all of this. Now, obviously, fewer hits, less theoretically wear and tear on your body. But he also said having less practice time hurts the players who need to get better at the pro level. And then he echoes what Randy Johnson said, and he said, player ceilings have been lowered. So coaches put less on their plate, which drops the play across the NFL.
How many times do you feel like you hear that coaches have to streamline things for the quarterback because he can't only read one half of the field, and he doesn't know how to read the rest of the field? We hear about that all the time.
Yes.
Just think about this. How much of a drop-off is there from your starting quarterback to the next guy? Usually it's very drastic, sure. Not only financially, but because those guys don't get reps during the season. The Cooper Rush is getting the most reps he'll see all year right now. Trey Lance is getting the most reps he'll see all year right now, and then there's no further development of those guys beyond that because there's no league, there's no way for them to play, there's no minor league system. The idea, Kevin, of your loans? The idea of loaning Trey Lance to Minnesota this year.
Yes.
And then being like, you know what? We're taking him back next year because he was able to play for you.
I would love that.
Because you could develop something other than what you have to invest in your starting quarterback alone.
Just for the record, we all understand why that wouldn't happen, but it would be super neat. So what do you guys think of the overarching idea from both Randy Johnson and Tom Brady, who are all-time greats in their sports, very, very respected, is that you've gotten to a point where there will just be lowered expectations and ceilings on both baseball and football players. And the way they make it sound is you can't go back.
For pitching, I agree. For football, I don't, just because I've gone back and I've watched because I'm so uninspired by this Cowboys team.
I think a lot of people are there with you.
I watch a lot of YouTube videos on old Dallas Cowboy games, the 90s Dallas Cowboys team that I completely and totally fell in love with. And I go back and I try to watch 1970s football. And I know that Tom Brady's talking more about, hey, just 10 years ago, just 15 years ago when I was,
yes,
in my prime and doing these things. But I think that there's a lot of nuance in today's football. We've been talking so much about Mike Zimmer's defense and how crazy it is, and now people are dropping back, and then they're rushing, and what the hell's going on?
It's different than last year's defense, yes.
And so I understand where Tom Brady's coming from. I don't want to discount it, but to say, like, it's a black and white yes or no, I think is difficult to say. This a little bit in baseball, a lot of Jeff Fry comes to mind, right? I mean, he trashes baseball tremendously.
Because he does not like the current
product. Not at all. But I think there's nuances. Is Jeff Fry right in some sense? Yeah, in some sense he's right. But not all.
Yeah.
He's not 100% right. He's not maybe even 50% right. And I don't think that Tom Brady's wrong, but I don't think he's close to 100% right. I do think there's a lot of complicated things that quarterbacks are dealing with today, and it's not as maybe dumbed down, but that's coming from a person who obviously never played quarterback in the NFL.
I will say this, though. The amount of money that owners are able to make in sports these days, Kevin.
Sure.
I mean, like, the NBA wants to try. They're still looking at the NFL going, we got to be able to be that one day. So they're fighting, maybe.
Yeah.
The NFL, they're like, why would we change the game up if we're just continuing to rake in cash?
I've debated that in my head a couple of different times. Because, you know, people will tell you, like,
the product's fine.
Well, that's true. But also, people will try to project their life onto somebody else's life, right? Like, and I thought about it, if I owned the Cowboys, could I stand making $300 million versus $400 million?
And not winning a championship.
But yes, winning a championship if I take less money. And then in my head, I'm like, sure. But then I'm like, but would I really? Would I not get into that mindset? And they're like, that's a lot of money. You didn't say $2 million. You said $100 million. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure. Well, I appreciate you guys all getting involved in the conversation. I thought it was fascinating to just get the perspective of two definitely all-time greats. For the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's about that time to power rank the NFL power rankings. Plus, maybe we'll further discuss, what would you do if your coach always said you were too stupid to be there? Next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the Markable Fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The Fan.
Cowboys are first and 10 at the 14-yard line of New York, coming right to left in the white shirts. Prescott's under center, fakes it to Pollard, gives a reverse to Lamb, block on the edge. Lamb will walk the dog.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're in the break. A ridiculously long review call at the Little League World Series led me and Mike to combining to sing the song Kokomo. But right now, it's time to power rank the power rankings. And we're going to circle back around in just a minute to what Brian Flores allegedly told to us, like, hey, you suck and you shouldn't be here. Well, we're going to get into that story. But it is time to power rank the NFL power rankings for the first time this season. And it starts with a very important question. Would you guys like to go with Yahoo or ESPN?
ESPN.
Can I throw this Yahoo. Out? I've seen ESPN.
Yahoo.
Oh.
I don't remember all of them. I do know where the Cowboys are ranked in that one. So if you're wanting me to guess, I would be a very good guesser on ESPN.
Would you? Let's go with ESPN then.
Oh, okay.
Corey can guess first.
Actually, hold on. I want to put this to the test.
How well do I remember?
Who are the top three teams?
Oh, crap. Kansas City was one.
Correct.
San Francisco was two.
Incorrect. So see, we got a new ball game.
Detroit was way up there too.
Detroit was also not number two.
Then I forget.
Yes, I know. I figured that out. Corey, would you like a chance to steal?
Baltimore?
Who?
Well, I'm just giving Corey an answer.
Corey, would you like to take the answer Mike just gave?
Who was one?
Kansas City. They won the Super Bowl.
And San Francisco was two?
No, he said they weren't.
I'll take Baltimore.
Baltimore is correct. Now I remember why I don't like this segment.
San Francisco's then is three.
Yes.
And that's then Detroit would be four.
That's what I said.
Who's five, Mike?
Houston.
Your mom. That's a better guess than mine. Sure.
Philadelphia is five.
I remember them being high on this list.
Houston is six.
Oh, good job.
Let me give you the rest of the top 10 and then we'll move over to Yahoo.
Yeah.
Buffalo, Miami, Cincinnati, and Green Bay.
I can't believe they ranked Green Bay ahead of Dallas.
Yes, you can.
They just ran out. If you just take the fourth quarter.
Shut up. I know what you're doing. Shut up. I know what you're doing.
So y'all had a caller that day that said they just ran out of time. This is my understanding.
That's a crazy thing.
If you were that caller, can you call in right now and we can discuss? And do you still believe the Cowboys just ran out of time?
Alec, good luck screening those calls.
Has your brain kicked in to go, maybe Green Bay was just way better than the Cowboys?
Dallas, by the way, is number 11. Now, keep this in mind. This ESPN article has a dumb inclusion from there. It says, who's on the hot seat? Team owner Jerry Jones. How? In what way? They can go 0-17 and lose every game by 56 points and nothing will change.
Only 98% of the people will renew their season tickets to sell them on the secondary market for a profit.
All right, we're going to move to Yahoo, and I want to prepare you.
I don't know Yahoo.
It's going to be different. Who do you think? Corey, I'm going to start with you. Who is the number one NFL team in all of the lands?
I mean, Kansas City.
I don't know how to make a K.
What?
Like this.
Oh, if I do this.
Okay, this
He's
is an
currently
audio
standing,
medium. Stick one
it,
of your
right?
legs out. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Number one, the Kansas City Chiefs.
Let's go. I have some of their gear, too.
Yes, I know.
Is this one different?
San Francisco.
Because you said it's going to be different.
There's differences, man.
It's either San Francisco or Detroit. What do you think?
One of those is correct.
Oh,
but which
Thundercat
one?
I'm going to go Detroit based on his excitement whenever you said Detroit.
That is correct. Who's number three?
Not the Cowboys.
That's true.
Why not?
Because they're not.
Because they have a defensive line.
I don't know what else to tell you.
They're going to average there, giving up about 5 yards a carry, and they don't have a running back who will ever get past 5 yards even when they have big holes.
San Francisco?
That is correct.
Detroit's number three, baby.
They're number two.
What is matter with you?
I forgot.
We just
what he said.
How did you forget something that just happened like 30 seconds ago?
Maybe I have old timers.
You know what? No, I'm not doing this. All right.
The kid's really smart, man.
The 49ers are third.
Noah.
The Ravens.
Baltimore's
four. My wife never saw Brandon.
That is true. The Ravens are four. All right. So your top four. Chiefs, Lions, 49ers, Ravens.
Hey, Corey.
I remember this. Okay. I know it's a different order
same
than four. ESPN,
same
but it
four.
Is the same
See,
four.
Yeah. Same final four.
All right. Where do we go with number five?
Heck yeah. This is where the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay. I'll let Mike. He's riding the hot hand right
Heck
now.
Heck yeah, man. Have you seen them practice? Say yes.
Yes, I have.
I haven't, but you told me they were awesome.
We did see them practice.
So I'm going five, Dallas Cowboys.
For the 817, is Kevin about to break his headphones again? Here's the annoying part about
Probably
all
not.
Of this.
That I'm too optimistic?
Mike is doing a bit right now with the Dallas Cowboys being number five. However,
I'm right.
Yahoo is also doing a bit.
Yes!
Because they have
Mike McCarthy.
The Dallas Cowboys at number five in their power ranking. So ESPN, 11. Yahoo has the Cowboys at number five.
Never forget.
Which do you think is closer to reality?
I honestly think it's between those.
Eight.
I think it's like, eight, seven or eight.
Can I ask
right
this
now?
But silly gonna, question?
But if you're looking at the record by the end of the year and they do what they've done the last few years, you're going, I mean, you got to consider them a top five team if their record is what it is. So, I mean, they're a good team. That's the reality.
How could you have Dallas rated higher than Green Bay? If you were ranking the teams yourself and I gave you those two teams to rank and the Cowboys didn't seem to add much in the offseason. Yeah. Green Bay, I'm not saying added a ton either, but they just played each other in Arlington and they got blown out.
Yeah.
So why would Dallas be considered this year better than Green Bay?
Here's one explanation. They're predicting that they'll have a better record based on the divisions alone. Like, that's one of the main factors. And the history of the Cowboys right now says that they win 12 games under Mike McCarthy with Dak Prescott. And Dak Prescott's a good quarterback. And Jordan Love, even though he beat Dak Prescott, still has some proving grounds to do.
Now, the rest of the top 10 after the Cowboys are number five. Then it goes Bills, Browns, Texans, Packers at 9, Jets at 10, and Eagles at 11. So just think about that for a second. The Eagles are 11 in the Yahoo rankings, and in ESPN, they're 5. And then the Cowboys are 11 in the ESPN rankings, but in Yahoo, they're 5. Now, one more question for you. The bottom three teams are agreed upon by both Yahoo
Giants.
And ESPN. Shockingly, no.
Oh, Panthers?
Yes. Panthers are last for both of them.
Patriots?
I keep forgetting that because I was like, I'm going through the draft and I'm like, wait, the Bears went 7-10, but it was.
The Patriots are 31 for Yahoo and 30 for ESPN.
Yeah. Yeah, but they traded to get a small quarterback.
The Giants aren't in there?
Surprisingly enough, the Giants are only 28, which I realize.
You said Arizona the other day was
Washington.
Bad. Washington has Daniels. I don't think they're going to be that low.
The Broncos come in at number 30 on the Yahoo predictions and 31 for ESPN.
But you're saying Bobo is going to have a good game, a good year.
I do think Bo Nix. He looks good early. You know,
yes.
Take that for what you
Anything will. Could happen. But, like, Russell Wilson was bad last year.
Yes.
Like, you watched his football, you were just like, "What? This is garbage." And what you've seen so far from Bo Nix has been fun. Maybe that's interesting because I think they're going to be better this year. And I think that New York is still in a shambles right now.
I agree with that. Absolutely. When we talked about the positional talent that all the teams have, I'm with you on that. Now, one of the big stories
and the Raiders suck.
That made the rounds yesterday was Tua was essentially asked, you know, what's the difference between Mike McDaniel and Brian Flores? Now, I'm going to be paraphrasing some here, but he talked about the fact that, well, you know, when one coach tells you every day that you suck or you don't belong, that's a lot harder than the system that we have right now. So essentially, Tua is saying that Brian Flores continually said that he sucked or he didn't belong. What would that do to y'all as an athlete? Because clearly Tua is letting us know how it affected him.
Before I answer your question, can I just attest to something? Because I watched the Miami Dolphins Hard Knocks in season. I watched the whole thing last year. And it was Mike McDaniels walking up to Tua every day, telling him positive affirmations immediately. Dude, you're this. You were so good at this week. This. And he even said whenever he took the job, he went back and cut up all the great plays of Tua from Alabama to show him, this is what you are. I need that swagger because I didn't see it from you while you're wearing a Dolphins uniform last year. So I need to get this back from you, I got to figure out a way to do it. And with Kirk Cousins and Tua, both of those guys, those coaches have to tell their quarterback, you're the man.
Do you think somebody with the Dolphins who continued on tipped him off was like, hey, Flores used to trash him every day.
Probably so. And it could have been, I don't know who in the group, like there, maybe it was Dan Marino. Dan Marino spends a lot of time around the Dolphins facility. Maybe he saw something. Maybe it was an offensive coordinator that was involved, an offensive coach. Maybe it was one of the guys that they have one dude who's been with the team for a long time and he, you know, is make sure all the equipment's there. Maybe it's that guy, you know, I don't know exactly what it was, but yeah. I never saw that from Brian Flores, but if Tua is saying that openly, then it does have something to do with your psyche. Everybody likes a pat on the butt. You know, you don't like going into work and your boss is just railing on you. You don't want to go to work.
Yeah.
You want to go in and your boss is like, hey, let's kick ass today. Let's do this. You did great at this yesterday. Go do it again. You're going to feel better about your job.
What do y'all think about the idea that, not that this is the only thing, but this has been a big contributing factor to Tua getting better? Do you think it's him stay healthy?
I think it's a huge factor because I think when he throws the ball, he has confidence.
Okay.
But the other thing, too, is he trusts his coach. He trusts that if his coach does come to him and tells him, hey, look, man, this needs to be fixed. We have to do better at this. Then he knows that his coach is there to try and help him do it. He's there just to provide some solutions to the problem. And I think that's a huge factor. Because if you're going around and your coach is like, you suck, I'll see you later, and walks off.
Sure.
Like, how do I fix that if I'm just now getting into the NFL, coach? What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
And if your coach is sitting there going, hey, this wasn't good enough, but it's on me. I got a solution for it. Next week, we're going to do this. And then it works out. Now you're starting to gain confidence in everything your coach tells you when you walk out onto the field to throw a football.
Corey, I hear you. And I totally agree.
Okay.
Like if Charlie Huff gives you a game plan and you're like, it worked. And he's like, yeah, you were great at this. Or this didn't quite work out. You're feeling more positive about what he gave you when you were going out to pitch.
Yeah, 100%. That's a great example. And I unfortunately have had other examples where I don't think I ever had any. The way Tua T explained it about Brian Flores, I was lucky enough not to have a professional coach that was that harsh, but I had coaches that I definitely didn't trust.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense.
And you want them to be honest with you, but you also want to know that the honesty is a positive critique that's helping you make you better. And every one of us is different, right?
Yes.
Every one of us takes things a different approach to it. So, but you want somebody to say, hey, you're going to be a badass today. You want somebody to believe in you. All of us do. We always want somebody to believe that you can do something.
Now, not surprisingly, here's what happened next. Brian Flores is now with the Vikings. I believe he's their defensive coordinator. So Kevin O'Connell had to answer questions about this. And he said he doesn't really want to talk about something that he wasn't there for and that affected another team. And he goes, all I'll say is Brian Flores has great relationships on the Vikings, which that is what he should say. There's no benefit to him being like, oh, really? What else did they say? And like really diving into that.
Think about this, though. Bill Belichick, great coach. We all believe. Sure. One of the funniest stories, but is also so Bill Belichick, the Tony Gonzalez story.
Yeah.
Whenever he's like, hey, why don't you make a block, Gonzalez? And he just mumbles it under his breath. And Tony Gonzalez is like, I'm going to go show you. You have to know your players. Yeah, and if they can handle that, if they can take it, or if they need something else.
That is
a great
point.
Do have to know them. And that's why I think Kevin O'Connell with Kirk Cousins during quarterback every day he's telling him how good he is because Kirk Cousins doesn't believe he's good enough.
I got a couple of other NFL notes, or I guess NFL adjacent notes. Mike Greenberg, per all of the rumblings, is going to take over and host ESPN's NFL Countdown after Samantha Ponder got let go. And then
for that's just what they do. They just throw Mike Greenberg in like
pretty
hey,
much.
Look, man, we cut some people. So you're just going to take over more.
Yeah. They're like, you can do it, right?
And he's like, all right. Yeah. Whatever you need. ESPN.
Absolutely. That's what I think too. And then the Texas Tech quarterback meeting room and offensive coordinator office have been renamed the Patrick Mahomes, the second meeting room, and the Patrick Mahomes, the second offensive coordinator office.
Heck yeah.
That I'm not kidding. That makes sense to me, right? Like, hey, you had one of the all-time great, could end up being the greatest football player of all time. He went to your school. Let's just go ahead and name a few things after him. That makes quite a bit of sense to me.
Do you think right now Kingsbury's ticked off?
I hope he understands. He's got to understand, right?
Probably.
Okay. He has to understand is what I'm going to go with. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And now. It's time for Mike Likes It.
All right, guys. So, I have a couple of Mike Likes It. One is about the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
And another, and it's kind of, they're correlated or they kind of combine here. Whatever I just said, deal with it. Is over the weekend, there was a huge Tops / Fanatics show in New York. It was the first one ever, and they had name a special athlete, and they pretty much had them there.
Can I just tell you, our friends Texas Roadshow, they had Jake Paul and Livy Dunn come by their booth.
And if you're wondering, Texas Roadshow, what is that? It's a card shop. Now, there's different ones around the country. True. This one is called Texas. It's in Mansfield. We've done shows there. It's a great card shop ran by great people. Yes. Obviously, I've had major issues in my life that I'm still dealing with today that'll affect me the rest of my life based off of maybe not going to the best people and not knowing any better. So when we say this, when Kevin says this or I say this, when you ask us, sometimes we can say things on the air, sometimes we can't, but I want to make sure that you go see good people.
And
that
they're very good
people. As far as we can tell through our interactions, are very good people and will treat you with respect.
Yep.
They won't take your stuff, that they will treat you right. So that was really cool. Texas Roadshow, they're in New York. Jake Paul bought something from him. They kind of did, I think, a coin flip, heads
they
or
did.
Tails.
They did.
That's what at card shows at this one they were saying, which was really cool. So Fanatics puts it on. So you can go buy jerseys, hats, all kinds of memorabilia. And then you have a whole card show going on in the same building. So watching this through YouTube, people were saying it was interesting. You could tell when people were coming over that knew nothing about cards, but they wanted an education. So they're asking a lot of questions like, hey, I'm a big fan of, let's just say, I'm throwing this out, Dirk Nowitzki. I want that Dirk Nowitzki card. And they would bring their credit card out. And they're like, well, so we do cash or we do Venmo or PayPal, but we're not usually a credit card company.
We're going to have to pay a fee. I know some people do that.
Right. And if you go to a card shop here in, you go to Texas Roadshow, you go to Worth Collectibles they will take your credit card there. But at a show, at a card show, they usually are trying to work more on cash or Venmo type of situation. So
Worth Collecting.
At this card show, Grant Williams, former Dallas Maverick, was there.
I saw this. This is cool.
So he buys I'll call it a briefcase, but we'll say a box to make it maybe more simple. If you're like, I don't collect cards or anything. He buys a box of cards. National Treasures, I believe it was. Yes, is that correct?
That is correct.
That box costs $10,000, and you get five cards in it or three. It's either five
Get five. Can I just stop you real quick?
So real quick, it's $10,000 and you get five cards.
One of my favorite interactions ever was at the Dallas Card Show in Allen with Derek Holland, because we were walking around and we're looking at all the different boxes, and you can get your blaster boxes that you can see at Walmart and Target, much more affordable. And he goes, we're like the best cards. And I said, well, the best cards are like in these hobby boxes. And I pointed some out and he goes, well, why doesn't everyone just buy those boxes? And I was like, sure, for you and other people like that, for sure. But this blaster box might cost $25, whereas the National Treasure box might cost $10,000 or at least multiple thousands of dollars.
Yeah. So this is where we're at. We're at $10,000. Grant Williams is not really into cards, but he wants to get into it. He's there as a special guest signer. Sure. And if you're like, oh, Grant Williams, no, like Barry Sanders was there. Cal Ripken Jr. was there. Tom Brady, which I'll get to in a second, was there. Like, you name, besides Michael Jordan, LeBron James, almost everybody of everybody was at this thing that Topps and Fanatics. If you don't know this, Fanatics, where you'd go buy your jerseys and stuff, they also own Topps now, too. And they're about to somewhat own Panini, that makes all the basketball and football cards that you care about, if you care about it. They want a 10X. It's not Michael Rubin, is it? Or is that the right person's name?
Ooh,
sorry.
I don't know.
The person who's the major owner of Fanatics Topps. He wants to 10X the world of cards. And one way to do it is when you go buy a jersey or a hat at Lids, he wants all of a sudden these people to start going towards, hey, well, let's get a card with this or let's buy a card.
Yeah.
And what's happening is the world, who's Livy Dunn was also there. Yes. She's obviously, she was dressed up as Paul Skeens.
Yeah, but, and that's who she dates, but she also has her own huge market in NIL and everything.
So anyways, Grant Williams is there. He buys this box, Corey. Did you see this on YouTube and wherever? And so Grant Williams buys this box and he's like, so what am I looking for? How in the world am I going to get my $10,000 back? And they're like,
question.
They said, well, you know, like if you get a Trae Young, like that's worth approximately $10,000. It would be a Trae Young autograph card with a jersey in it and it would be numbered to 10. They're like, that's approximately a $10,000 card. So you hit that Trae Young, you'd get your money back. So he says he opens it up. And the last card he's looking at, after getting like a tiny Nate Archibald card and something else, he sees it, and it's a Luka Doncic autographed jersey patch card, and it's a rookie. It's his rookie year.
Rookie patch auto, yeah.
And that card
is a beautiful card.
Is numbered to 10, and he got offered at the show $500,000 for it.
What?
So after he opened
it, he was the first ever millionaire.
Wow!
So here's Grant Williams going, hey, I'm going to get into cards. First thing he ever opens, he does have the means, like Derek Holland, to do this. He opens up a $10,000 box with, I believe, 3 to 5 cards in it. And the last card he sees is a, right now, $500,000 Luka card. He did not sell it. He doesn't need to. But he said the reason he didn't sell it to the person there at the show in New York, at this huge Fanatics Topps show, that it's the first one of its kind. And by the way, I don't know if this is inside information or not. I'm sharing it. But I know that they've tried to maybe buy the Dallas Card Show.
Oh.
They want to turn that into like a Fanatics, huge Fanatics Topps thing because it's so popular. It's the show in Dallas, it's slash in Allen, really.
Correct.
But it's called Dallas Card Show. It's the most popular show in the world, but it's put on so much that Fanatics Topps have come here and they're like, hey, like, let's buy this show from the people who own it. And it hasn't been sold. So it's still just the Dallas Card Show and not a Fanatics Topps show. But he said, I'm going to call up Luka and offer it to him for $1 million.
Give him first right of refusal.
Yes.
Man.
And it's interesting because I thought he'd toss it after, you know.
I know. This is the weird thing after the Michael Finley story that was here on 105.
Yeah.
Grant Williams doesn't seem to like have a bad relationship with Luka. Maybe he's just like, yeah, we're okay, especially now that we're not teammates and stuff like that. But anyways, first box he ever opens, he pulls approximately $500,000 card.
That is unbelievable.
Now, the other thing that happened, you just mentioned Tom Brady and this and that. So Tom Brady was there signing autographs or taking pictures, whatever he was doing, but getting paid to be there. He goes up to a dealer, a person that is selling cards.
Oh, I saw this. Yeah.
And it's a big Boston fan who's a big Tom Brady fan. And he's like, hey, through buying and selling your cards, I was able to get my house that I wanted.
Wow.
Through time and effort. And Tom Brady goes and he buys like 5 cards from him. One of them is a Montana Tom Brady autograph card because Montana's his hero.
That's growing up.
Awesome. And then it's, you know, Tom Brady, Joe Montana, same. And I'm sure that Tom Brady's not haggling over prices, like whatever you have at Marco.
Sure.
Yeah. Like,
which is unusual at a card show. Right,
usually you would haggle over it, but Tom Brady picked out like 3 to 5 cards and bought those cards from this guy. But that was a big deal. And then, like you mentioned, I wrote down that Jake Paul was there and he went to the Texas Roadshow guys in Mansfield and bought card or two from them. And
Libby Dunn bought Paul Skeen's cards.
Yeah, she's going to lose money on that.
She could probably afford it too.
So I told people on YouTube because they're like, hey, do you have any Paul Skeen's cards? I'm like, I don't. They were priced so high so quick. Just like I really don't have very many Wyatt Langford cards. They were priced so high so quick. I'm like, go look at Greg Maddux cards. They're cheap as all get out. And that dude won 355 games at the time when he retired.
Cy Youngs.
Yeah. Like, you can't get much better than Greg Maddux's career, and his cards aren't worth very much. He should be Ken Griffey Jr. I understand why Ken Griffey Jr. in the 90s should be the card that's worth the most.
Sure.
The guy that should be worth the second most is Greg Maddux, and it shouldn't even be close because Barry Bonds gets obviously dinged tremendously, and so does Roger Clemens for the possible steroid use that everybody believes that they did. So they get dinged tremendously. So if we're going to take Ken Griffey Jr., the guy who should be right next to Ken Griffey Jr. in the price of cards should be Greg Maddux, but people just don't collect pitcher. So I'm like, I'm not Paul Skeens. I don't mind getting cards from him, but it'll be 3 to 5 years from now where his cards will be 80% less than what they are today. The last thing I want to get into is this. I showed you this card, Kevin. I know I'm getting into my personal collection, but there was this card numbered to 100 is a 1999 card of Troy Aikman. Here's what's amazing to me in the world of cards. There's always a premium on Laker cards. There's a premium on Yankee cards. There's a discount on Cowboy cards. I'm just throwing this out
it
here.
It is weird.
If Cowboy fans, if they're the biggest, most passionate fans in the world, taking Jerry to a over $10 billion evaluation of his team, what's weird is I can get Troy Aikman cards for so much cheaper than most other Hall of Fame quarterbacks. You can get Roger Staubach cards for so much cheaper than most, not all, but most Hall of Fame quarterback guys. And it doesn't make sense to me. If there's a premium on Derek Jeter, if there's a premium on Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal, Magic Johnson, you know what I'm saying here, LeBron James, now that he went to the Lakers, it's weird to me that there's no premium on Cowboys. It's like a discounted product. And I'm going to say not nobody, but very few people collect Dak Prescott. Like, you could buy a lot of Dak Prescott cards for not a lot of money.
Why?
I don't get it. Does it make sense?
I don't get it either. No.
If you have the biggest fan base.
And the most haters.
True.
Yeah. That would be like, I'm selling it to the biggest fan base. Cowboy cards, if you ever wanted to get into cards and you're like, I'm a huge Dallas Cowboy fan.
You get some good deals.
You can get all types of great Dallas Cowboy cards from current players, from Jason Witten, who'll be a Hall of Famer, DeMarcus Ware, who's a Hall of Famer, Bob Lilly, Roger Staubach, Drew Pearson, Randy White.
And those aren't auto pinned.
They're all, just so everybody knows, Dak Prescott did not sign his rookie cards. Do not buy an autographed Dak Prescott rookie card because 90% of them are auto-penned. He bought a program, whatever, the auto-pen, and did not sign those cards. So just a warning, if you want to get into it and you are a big Dak Prescott fan, do not buy his rookie cards that are autographed. There's a 90% chance it was done by a computer and not by Dak Prescott.
The KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for the C Block starring Corey Majors and special guests.
Yeah, we're going to talk to the new USL Super League team, Dallas Trinity FC, next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.